Awesome. Now let's see host country Canada do the same thing while not playing in Canada.
Yeah, right.
Does that make any sense? You're a host country. Isn't part of the gig?
You get into bracket play and everything's predetermined, right? Where you're going to be, and they, whatever their seed was, dictated they had to play.
You think you might want to finagle a little bit.
You could. I mean, look, if we win this game, I think we...
Imagine the United States were playing in...
Mexico?
Yeah. I say that not knowing where the hell the game is tonight, but sure.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's really weird. Like, maybe the greatest television event in United States history took place at 5 p.m. and aired on tape delay with the Miracle on Ice, right?
I mean, but then again, it was... Today's world, that would never happen. But back maybe in 1980, of course.
So in 1980, ABC lobbied like crazy to get the game moved to 8 p.m., and everybody had to agree. So the four teams playing in the semifinals all had to agree to flop games. And I guess the four teams did, but the organizers were like, okay, what do we do about the tickets? Because we got people holding tickets for the 5 o'clock game that are going to show up and get the other game, and they're going to be pissed. Long story short. Sometimes you can't finagle. If we win tonight against Bosnia-Herzegovina, God, Bigby's going to rise from the dead and kill us for opening with soccer. But if we win tonight, they play, I think, next Monday at 4, which I'm sure Fox isn't thrilled about.
No, but hey, it's World Cup.
It is World Cup, and it's fun, and I'm enjoying it, and I believe that we will win. Big game tonight, so. And you're going to watch. I'm proud of you. You've watched way more of this. I'm proud of you, Scott.
Well, I didn't guarantee I was going to watch. I just happened to watch, part of it last night. Yes, I'll probably watch tonight.
Well, Tigers are afternoon. Yeah, it's clear the schedule for you, my friend.
Open up tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
Castle Impossible was on last night, so I recorded and watched it last night, so I don't have to, tape delay tonight.
What? What was on?
Castle Impossible. You don't watch that one?
Kang, have you ever heard of Castle Impossible?
I have not, actually.
It's a younger couple, probably in their probably early 30s.
Is this people trying to renovate castles?
Well, the woman inherited...
Resell them?
She inherited a castle from her grandfather in France, outside of Paris. And it's a massive property that takes up like half the town outside of France. And there's a lot to do there, and they host weddings. That's how they make money. But all of that goes right into restoring the castle. And it's interesting to watch how they're restoring a 500-600-year-old structure. So each week presents different. They do renovate a different room, and it's just different. Yes, I watch it. Whatever.
Just in case Gator has to,
renovate a castle.
Exactly. So when
be too safe.
Well, last night was pretty cool. They renovated the dungeon, one of the rooms in the dungeon, and turned it into a tavern for bachelor parties before the weddings. Pretty awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Exactly. That happened last night.
You watched it.
So now I don't have to watch it tonight on tape delay because I watched it last night.
We should have given a spoiler alert.
You're right.
Everybody in our audience watching Castle Impossible.
Yeah. There's a treasure hunt. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, obviously we got news today. Broke during the morning show that the Pistons had signed. The overall continues. John Collins, a true stretch four, reliable shooter, will help with spacing. 3 years, $51 million, 17 per. This is less money in Tobias. Tobias's cap hit last year was 26.6. Tobias turns 34 in 2 weeks. John Collins turns 29 in September. Collins averaged 13.6, 5.3 rebounds and shot 40% from three for the Clippers last season. And it sure looks like he was brought in to replace Tobias. Shams tweeted he was being pursued as a starting four. And, it looks like that's the end of the Tobias era here in Detroit. I guess Tobias 2.0 here in Detroit. And if that is accurate, which I don't know how it isn't, Tobias, thank you for your service. This guy was awesome for Detroit. I like this move. And Trajan is operating in fascinating fashion this offseason. But first, let's get to your thoughts on this move.
I like it. I too was a Tobias fan. But if you're getting younger, get younger. And if you're not losing any ability, in fact, might be gaining some here, that's just better for this team. Hopefully he fits in chemistry-wise, because we know how much it, and how important Tobias was to the Pistons over the last couple of seasons. So, yeah, I'll miss him. But moving forward, looking forward to what Collins can do. He's a guy who, over his career, has seemingly been a better rebounder. He's a better shooter. And at 6'9", it's a pretty good option to have. It's another guy that I'm assuming that they're still going to re-sign Jalen Duren. Jalen Duren didn't sign with the Lakers, didn't sign with the Kings, not yet anyway, or trying to work out a sign to trade. It seems like the Pistons don't want nothing to do with that. So if I'm looking at a front court that has John Collins and Jalen Duren in it, I think it looks pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, look, Duren, that story has to play itself out. And we'll get into that coming up. Collins is another player that seems to signify, especially if they let Duren walk, a complete and total Piston personality renovation. Like, this is no longer going to be, I mean, I guess it depends what happens with Duren's spot and anybody else, but it's starting to feel like they're completely restructuring who this team is. Last year's team was a defense bully, beat you up, physical basketball team. Isaiah Stewart's gone. If Jalen Duren is gone and replaced by a shooter, you're really talking about a total reinvention of this team, which we have to remind ourselves might take a while for the Cades and the Asars of the world to get used to playing a different style of basketball. But this, I mean, doesn't this look like they're completely changing their core personality?
I mean, kind of. Yes and no. I mean, it's clear they've identified what the core is. And their core personality is going to be Asar Thompson, Cade Cunningham, and Jalen Duren, and not necessarily in that order. So, you know, once Jalen Duren is locked down here, we'll get a better sense for that. But that's what they've been preaching all along, and that's what the reporting has been. So that's the core. You know, everything else, and given, I understand your point about having starters that aren't going to be here, and I get that. But, you know, they view that as those are the other parts. Those are the mix and match, and we'll figure it out. We have to have these three guys starting off with, and we'll get it. I think when you look at back at the playoffs and you saw that Isaiah Stewart didn't play a ton in the playoffs, he really didn't get that many minutes. We all appreciate what Isaiah Stewart brought to this team, that toughness and the brotherhood that was there with him out there and the defensive ability and the shot blocking, the rim protection, all that was great. But, you know, in the end, they viewed it as being expendable and not part of the core, and also a way to free up some money. And we'll see what they decide to add, what more they can do, if they can get in on Trey Murphy and make a trade that satisfies all parties, and then Trey Murphy comes here. Well, all of a sudden, this starting five, which will be revamped, looks perhaps more impressive than what it did a year ago.
And completely different.
Yeah.
Like, completely different. Kang, your thoughts on the John Collins signing this morning?
I like it a lot. I don't love it, but I like it. And I like it even more now that we find out the last 2 years of the deal aren't even guaranteed. So it's kind of essentially a one-year prove-it deal. Now, I think in the short term, you got 5 years younger than Tobias. You got a guy who's not a stretch four, but he can shoot. He's more of a threat, I think, at three than Tobias was. Late in his career, Tobias' three-point percentage just started really going down. You know, he wasn't hitting at the rate, especially in the playoffs when we saw that even though he was scoring 20-plus a game, the three-point shot, open threes were missed pretty, I don't want to say regularly, but it seemed like often. And John Collins has the ability to step out and make a three. Now, he's much more athletic than Tobias Harris. He is a lob guy. I don't think they lose Jalen Duren, but if they were to lose Jalen Duren, there's a guy that you can do pick and roll and lobs with and rim run, because John Collins is very athletic. So I think they got better at the four spot, which I'm just trying to do right now, is get better at positions, get a better bench, better, you know, two, a better three, a better four. I think as far as the identity of the team, Doug, Cade Cunningham is clearly the leader and the focal point and the franchise player. And I think they've built a good enough culture there with Stu and those guys that you put on the jersey now, that is the culture. You know what I'm saying? Like, even Tobias isn't going to be there, it looks like. Stu's already shipped out. Asar Thompson is still an elite, elite defender. And he's going to make, you know, everyone's going to see him play defense, and what they're hoping, I'm sure. And JB Bickerstaff, this is a point of emphasis for him, is play defense. I think when you put on the jersey now, you come to Detroit, you're going to play tough. It doesn't matter if Stu's here or not. You play defense, you play hard. And I think now that they built the culture up enough, I feel like they that's ingrained into the jersey. So I think, yeah, a lot of moving different players, new moving parts now, but I think the core is still there, Doug.
So we ask you, as we are just underway in free agency, but it has been a busy offseason with a Piston team that looks like the guy that's running it is totally into a full-scale transition to a different style of team. Do you approve? Do you approve? 248-539-9797. We actually asked that on Twitter. People are voting the approval rating on the early start here this offseason, which includes a team-friendly offer to Duren, which puts his future with Detroit in risk. They signed the stretch four, younger and cheaper than what Tobias was a year ago. They trade Beef Stew. They could waive Duncan Robinson. They sign Kevin Herter. They trade for Isaiah Joe. They draft Okorie. Do you approve of this offseason so far? Votes are pouring in on our Twitter poll, plus comments will be read on the air, so you can go vote and comment there, or let us know. 248-539-9797. Are you excited? Because a lot of people warn against falling in love with your own players. A lot of people want to see a team go big. They're positioned to potentially do that. But this is quite an overhaul for a 60-win team that was a one seed. This is not resting on your laurels, is it?
No, I don't think it is.
248-539-9797. Your phone calls, feedback, and reaction on Carson Anderson. All right, I got a theory. You tell me I'm wrong, okay?
Okay.
I feel like this Piston offseason so far is what it would look like if some of our callers ran the Pistons.
I'm sorry, say that again.
I think this Piston offseason so far is what it would look like if some of our callers ran the Pistons.
Let's see. Well,
I'll give you the traits. And you know, just judging from our audience, they're not falling in love with their own guys.
Correct.
That's
true.
They didn't offer anywhere close to the max to Duren. They're setting up to do something big. They have said so long to players that meant a lot in the locker room. Which I think fans,
that's two guys, some people, yeah.
They've it's almost like I feel like one of our callers, and then like in general, like we get a lot of these same things, has taken over the Pistons and is wheeling and dealing.
Did they kick the tires on Kawhi?
They kicked the tires on Kyrie. They kicked the tires on Kawhi. They might be kicking the tires on LeBron. This feels like one of our listeners is running the Pistons. Am I wrong?
I think it actually extends into perhaps this room as well. You know, when they go out and trade for Isaiah Joe, that's something that you were all about.
That's true.
we talked about, hey, I really want them to move up in the draft if they have conviction on a certain player. Mm-hmm. And they did that. May not have been a player that I expected, but hey, I love that they have conviction enough to go do that. So that's and Trajan Langdon. Yeah, so far I think that it kind of checks some boxes, but in the end we'll wait and see what this team looks like when the smoke clears. But it looks like there's still way more movement that's going to take place. The way I feel, anyway. I mean, it has to. I can't imagine they're just going to re-sign Jalen Duren. And that's it.
I think you're right about that. 248-539-9797. All right, what do you think the approval rating's at right now for the offseason so far?
North of 50, but less than 80. I'm going to go 71%.
71%. The approval rating right now as it stands from our audience 77% approve, 23% don't approve of this offseason so far. Here's some of the feedback we've gotten via Twitter from Sam. Losing Stu and Tobias are a big hit to the culture. Hoping they left enough of a mark on the other guys to keep that locker room intact. From Brandon, only part I don't like is re-signing Herter, especially if it means cutting Duncan. But 3 years, 27 is relatively nothing in today's NBA. From Darius Harris on Twitter, if they lose Duren and don't replace him with a good option, this is a bad offseason. They still need a number two for Cade. From Red Ranger, so far I approve. We can now stretch the floor and allow Cade to work in space. We're getting closer to being an NBA Finals team. Ben writes in, I'm concerned about blowing apart the team chemistry that worked so well in the regular season last year. I'm in between on the move so far this offseason. I'd rather have lost Duren and kept Stewart to start at center with Paul Reed as a backup. From the Nuts on Twitter, have to get a true number two to Cade or the offseason is a failure. From Todd, no one on this team aside from Cade can create a shot in the playoffs. Let's see here. I would say Isaiah Joe can, but he's probably not going to start, but that doesn't mean he can't create a shot in the playoffs. Fiasco, and they're right, writes, it's incomplete. No point in judging anything one day into free agency. No, I mean, but there's one day in.
Are you encouraged?
Well, it's clearly a personality, total personality revamp. This is like a restoration project on something that looked pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if this is the right way to go about things, but he's been, Trajan Langdon has been very transparent about what he wants to do. He has been for each of the last couple of off seasons. Last year was about, you know, the margins. Well, they made some moves in the margin. They got a lot better. This year is we need shooters and ball handlers. Well, you drafted a guy who's a ball handler and attacks the rim, and you've signed so far a couple of shooters. So if they go out and get Trey Murphy, for instance, that's really doing it up. And I feel like now Trey Murphy's the prize. And maybe it's unfair to put it out there, but to me, it's like a Trey Murphy move, or else this is going to look not stale because they have kind of revamped it, but it's going to come into question. Do they do the right thing?
248-539-9797. So yeah, the what is next? Jalen Duren is on the Hire Me Tour out west. He's in Sacramento, a.k.a. the NBA's Yemen, in L.A., where he'll meet with the Lake Show, or at least talk with the Lake Show. It appears he is seeking 44.25. The Pistons offer, we don't know exactly what the Pistons offer was, but based upon the description of them being far apart, I'm going to assume it was 30 to 35 million. And, you know, if he can get 44.25 from another team, don't blame him for seeking it. But that is, of course, well under the maximum of what Duren was qualified to earn, which was $57 million. I think Detroit, one of the reasons why they approve so far the offseason is because they approve of the way they're handling Duren. I think people want Duren back, but they only want him at the right price.
Yeah, and I think that once you put the real numbers out there of what the Pistons could have offered in terms of being a max contract, nobody wants to offer that. And then you see the disparity between that and what the max qualifying offer is from another team at 4 years. And knowing that the Pistons came in below that, they had to have. Otherwise, you're not shopping yourself. That's quality. Now, in the end, if he ends up signing for $44 million a year, with the Pistons, if the Pistons match a max offer that some other team can give them, will the fans still be happy with that? Or will they say, no, that's too much money? I mean, it gets interesting when you start haggling between, okay, is 40 your threshold? If there's a four in front of that number per year, is that too much? I'm not going to do it. Okay, well, you'd give 39, so that's a $5 million disparity. Well, we'll see what the number ends up being. If it is, in fact, that Jalen Duren resigns at the Pistons, like all the reporting is saying, that that's what's going to happen.
248-539-9797. Do you approve of this offseason so far? And what do you want to have happen next? We will get to what the next could be today at 10:35. You're on Carson Anderson on 97.1. Pistons had a stretch four this morning, and John Collins from the Clippers feels like he's taking Tobias's spot. Younger player, cheaper player, better shooter. Still got capable of playing in a pick and roll offense. Interesting. Feels like an upgrade. From a basketball standpoint, if you are reshaping your personality, it is definitely a loss of a positive influence in the locker room and a leader for this team if Tobias is indeed gone, and it feels like that's a logical conclusion. In the meantime, we await word on any offer that is made to Jalen Duren. So what's next? What is next? It's probably sorting out the Duren situation. As it stands right now, nothing has been offered yet as far as a sign and trade for the Pistons. They might simply just match an offer if one is made. A sign and trade would be a team that's saying, we'll pay him this in a sign and trade, and here's what we'll offer you for him. I mean, the reporting says Sacramento, it's Sabonis, Domantas Sabonis, center. And the Lakers, it feels like it'd be draft picks and cap space. I don't know if they get Rui out of it, but I don't know if they want Rui at this point. Anyway, we're looking at some flexibility. If the Lakers are a player here and you get back draft picks and cap space, that's just begging for them to go make a big trade, right? Whether it be Trey Murphy, whether it be Jaylen Brown. But again, it's a total revamp of this team's personality, because you're getting guys that are known for outside shooting, and they will have loaded up on a lot of good shooters, but they'll still need like a starting center unless they're going to go with B-ball Paul.
Yeah, I have a hard time thinking that the plan is for Paul Reed to be your starting center and playing 30 minutes a game. But I really firmly believe that Jalen Duren is the number one option. That's what they want. Mm-hmm. Even if it means they have to match an offer of $44 million a year, if that's what the Lakers are going to try to sign him to, okay, you can try it, but Pistons are going to match it. You know, it's kind of like the Red Wings dealt with Sergei Fedorov back in the day when he was a restricted free agent, was signed to an offer sheet by Carolina. And that offer sheet, I think, paid him $15 million in bonus money that had to be paid right away. Red Wings begrudgingly said, all right, we'll have to give him that money right up front, but we're keeping Fedorov. And they, you know, won another Stanley Cup out of it.
I agree with you, Gator. I think Jalen Duren is clearly the number one plan. Plan A is keep Duren here. And if plan B is, they will move on. I don't know if they will max the $44 million per year, Gator, but they put it out there, basically, right? They've let everyone know, we will match any offer. So they're actually, that's what they're saying, at least. And I think the identity of the team, Doug, it's Cade Cunningham, it's Asar Thompson, it's J.B. Bickerstaff. Those are the three guys, that the pillars of this team. Now, the young guys that are going to lean on to set the culture. Stewart and Tobias Harris helped usher that in. But now they feel like they have enough experience with those other guys, including J.B. Bickerstaff, to continue that. Because I said a lot of times last year, they won 60 games for sure, and you are what your record is, but their talent, I felt like J.B. Bickerstaff squeezed every single amount of juice out of that lemon for that squad. I mean, when Javonte Green, Dennis Jenkins, B-ball Paul, these guys are coming through for you to win games, I don't know if that could have been done at any other time in history, to be honest with you. And I think Trajan saw that. He saw a lack of overall talent with this team, and he says, you know, with Cade Cunningham and the elite defensive ability of Asar Thompson, and I think they want Duren back, I think if we get better players elsewhere and just upgrade at every position a little bit, we can be a force in the playoffs. We can get us over that hump to get us to the conference finals. And I think they're doing it. Grabbing Isaiah Joe and John Collins aren't huge moves, but they're upgrades. And then you can't forget, Cade Cunningham could still get better too. They're building around Cade. They're getting him help. It's just not like this massive, like, Trey Murphy, Michael Porter Jr. help yet. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if Trajan's still what is up his sleeve, but I feel like he's got a plan.
Yeah, I think he's definitely got a plan. And I think the first part of his plan is to, let's take care of Jalen Duren here, and which I imagine gets settled pretty quickly here. You know, if those are the, we haven't heard any reports of other teams with interest in Duren, right?
There are some rumors out there, but I haven't seen anybody credible say anything.
So it shouldn't take too long to make that decision up, and then you just say, yes, we'll match or whatever. As far as, you know, trading to add another piece, I do think they have to add one more piece, a big piece, not just on the margins, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Does Is Rui Hachimura, is that a guy who is a big piece, or is he somewhere between margins and big piece? He's a free agent, so you can go sign him anytime you want. Outstanding, so
like,
3-point shooter.
I like Rui a lot as a player. Yeah, I mean, I would be pretty happy if they brought in Rui. Could he be part of a sign and trade with the Lakers?
Well, he's unrestricted.
I think he could still do a sign and trade with that. But they would free up cap space and they can make a run at him or LeBron. That's the second time in 2 days I've whispered the name LeBron.
What are you doing?
I don't either. 248-539-9797. Here's some feedback coming in to the Karsh and Anderson inbox. Collins is a solid starting four. Better rebound and interior score. Maybe better 3-point shooter. Fantastic move. Langdon knows what he's doing. That's from an unnamed texter. Another unnamed texter. I think Trajan is up to something. The Durin sitch seems a little peculiar because if they wanted to make it work, I feel like they could have done it and carried on. Could be wrong, but I don't know. Well, why would you offer him an amount of money that would make him go to the open market? There's a couple things. One is they could be planning something else, which could be as boring as an Asar extension and as exciting as adding another player. They could be saying, we're going to bring him back no matter what. We just don't want to overpay, so let's lowball him. He'll go to the open market, see what he gets, and then that's the price we'll pay because we have the rights to match any offer because he is a restricted free agent. And under those rules, we can just match any offer and keep him. So that's one way to assure that you won't overpay what the market would pay him. You do that at the risk of alienating the player, right? If Durin's pissed about this, and he might be, you run the risk of alienating the player when you do this.
You can, but I also think that it's an agent's job to tell the player, and it's a player's job to understand. It's a business.
Just a business.
Right? This is why you hire an agent. So you're not dealing with the conversations that are going back and forth. Let an agent deal with that. If it gets ugly there, it gets ugly there. And it's just, you know, his job to insulate you from that and protect you from that. So I would hope that he understands that. And, I mean, who knows what goes on behind the scenes. Maybe Jalen Durin truly wants to get out of Detroit. And if that's the case, then let him go. Find a sign and trade. Because you don't want a player that doesn't want to be here. But I don't think that's the case. I think he's just, he's recognizing a situation here at the age of 22. Got a golden opportunity to really cash in. And the offer that the Pistons gave him wasn't one where he's going to say, that's the offer I want. His agent's like, you can get a lot more. Let's explore these options, these two California teams. And, you know, worst case scenario is the Pistons match. Okay, you're back where you want to be anyway at a price that you were going to agree with another team.
From an unnamed texter, if they signed Collins to start, that means they aren't trading for Murphy. Not necessarily, but you know the thing about it, we got to point this out. A lot of reporters are saying it appears that the John Collins thing might be a sign and trade. So we got to sit tight for the details of that.
But part of perhaps tied to Isaiah?
Isaiah Stewart, yeah, things get really wonky in the NBA.
It's wild.
I approve of the Pistons' moves so far. I think they're building off previous weaknesses very well. Need one or two more moves to be a home run. That's from an unnamed texter. Another unnamed texter, hell yes, I approve. We got Joe and Collins for the same price as Harris, and I'd rather have either of them than Harris. Like I said, this offseason feels a little bit to me like some of our listeners are running the Pistons. 248-539-9797. Gary says, the way you describe what the Pistons are doing this offseason sounds like what the Lions did in this offseason. I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, the Pistons are potentially coming back with three new starters. I mean, it's hard to compare a roster with 22 starters to five.
But. Is Isaiah Joe the version of the center?
Cade Mays?
Yeah.
Good.
Not great, but good. Solid.
Fills a need.
Yeah.
Could be. I don't feel like the Lions have completely overhauled their personality. I think the Pistons might be in the process of completely
overhauling. I would agree with that. The Pistons look like, on paper right now, that they're going to be a completely different team.
Harold and Taylor, floor spacing has improved big time. Bold prediction, Cade leads the league in assists this year. From an unnamed texter, I would still like to find a pathway to land Tyler Hero. Cade will be the best player he's played with. I think he can get more out of him.
Still possible.
248-539-9797. All right, straight ahead, a sports writer with an idea that I think every fan would say, hell yeah, that's the way it should be. But is it realistic? We'll get to that today at 1048 because it applies to us here in Detroit. It is Carson Anderson on 97.1. So obviously the Pistons aren't the only thing going on, and we'll continue to take your feedback on the John Collins move today. If you missed it, they get the stretch four from the Clippers. Free agent, what may end up being a sign and trade, but it's a $51 million deal, 17 per, three-year deal. Less money than Tobias, cheaper player, different player, but add some shooting and interesting move, and it probably means Tobias is done. Maybe not, but it feels like that's the probable outcome of this.
I would think it is, yeah.
We await word on Jalen Duren. It's a Piston team that is going for what appears to be a complete and total revamp of the personality. Do you approve so far of this offseason? Do you like the direction Trajan's taking it? 248-539-9797. Not resting on his laurels and certainly not falling in love with his own guys. In the meantime, nothing really new to report on Dylan Larkin. There's a belief that things are going to start to pick up here, but I just feel like Steve Yzerman, I think he's got all the leverage and isn't going to budge, and nobody's come at him with an offer he can't refuse. Do you have anything to add to that as far as...
Well, Elliot Friedman had said that he wondered if Jason Robertson for Dylan Larkin makes sense. He says that Robertson trains in Michigan the summer. He's got a big Michigan connection. And it's something we've all wondered, and we've had different sourcing on that, that people have said that actually maybe the thought has changed, that the money is there, that Robertson would consider coming to the Red Wings. Mm-hmm. But and obviously, if they're able to pull off a move like that, it would make sense for both teams. I'm not sure what else has to go where in that deal, because obviously Robertson is the bigger star over Dylan Larkin, but Dylan Larkin's a more complete player, and Dylan Larkin's comes at, you know, what would be not quite half the cost, but nearly, because I'm going to guess you're going to have to pay $14 million a year for Robertson mm-hmm. to sign him to a deal, and Larkin comes in at, you know, under $9 million on his annual. So it's a move that would be really intriguing for the Red Wings, and I think would also, if they're able to pull it off and convince Jason Robertson this is the place to be, that could spur some other things to happen.
Look, I'd think it would be a nice way to land on your feet. It really comes down to, will Jason Robertson consider Detroit? And, you know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that's the case. And I don't know if anybody really knows.
Yeah. I don't know if I don't either. But I just like the fact that the Red Wings are mentioned with Robertson because that's nothing but a good thing at this point. Pierre LeBrun, yes, the real Pierre LeBrun. Tweeted out a couple hours ago that Patrick Kane is going to the market today while keeping the door open to Detroit. So he's not completely against returning to the Red Wings, but the last couple of years when he signed, it's been on the eve of free agency, so we didn't get to free agency. This time, he's getting to free agency. He's got value because he's still a tremendous passer in the league, an elite passer in this league, and would be a gift to any team's power play. Obviously, he's not a great defensive player, and he is older, but he is still valuable for a team. I'm hopeful that the Red Wings can get something big done, like say a Robertson move, or at least figure some way to appease themselves in trading Dylan Larkin by landing a nice package of players that Patrick Kane would want to stay here for another year.
I am I'm a little skeptical if anybody gets to the open market, they're gone. I'm a little concerned about that they're player retention will be an issue if they have other options. You know, you've got a player that, is this ship sinking? Do I need to jump off? And that's my overriding concern with Kane going to free agency. Now, some people would say, whatever, let him walk at this point in his career, but Just saying, Scott. Just saying.
You're just saying?
Just saying. Okay. In the meantime, I don't know where you saw this, but you included it in your show sheet. Joe Shad, actually, I think he spends most of his time covering the NFL. And this is relevant to us. He made a comment about no trade clauses.
Yeah, so Darren Drager had a comment last night. Darren Drager covers the NHL. He says, I believe Dallas was the team that stepped up and presented a trade option that Columbus was willing to work with. Sounds like Zach Werenski's preference is to stay east. So that's the big rumor right now in the NHL. The big reporting is that Zach Werenski, that they had a deal worked out with Dallas, and he offered up his no trade clause and said, yeah, no, I'm not going to Dallas. So Joe Shad replied to that tweet with something that I agree with 100%. If you request a trade, you should have to waive your no trade clause. And think about that. It's something that's so simple and yet makes all the sense in the world. You're the one that's asking for the trade, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you want the trade, then don't hinder me and tie my hands behind my back with that no trade clause. You're asking for it. Now, if we as an organization have decided before you said you want out that we're going to trade you, we have to live with your no trade clause. But you're the one asking for it. So if you're asking for it, then we're going to trade you and you have to waive it. Otherwise, shut up.
I mean, it makes all the sense in the world, and yet I cannot see a players union ever agreeing to this in a collective bargaining agreement. What you say is fair, but in something that's collectively bargained and you can ask for and get a no trade clause in a contract, why would they give that up? Why would they make concessions like that? You're right. Joe Shad is right.
I don't think Joe Shad's right. I don't think you guys read at all.
Oh.
I don't think it makes any sense. The entire purpose of a no trade clause is to help determine where your next team will be. That's it. So if you don't want to get traded, obviously you have the no trade clause. If you do want to get traded, you have a say into where you will get traded to next. And if they don't find that right team that you don't want to get traded to, then you just stay. That's the whole point.
Well, if you really want to get traded,
well, then you would just completely waive the trade clause. He has that power to do that.
I have a suspicion that, and we have a fundamental disagreement on this, and this is fine. I have a suspicion that we're going to find out exactly how much Dylan Larkin wants out of Detroit. Because we've said it before, Dylan Larkin is the teams that he wants to go to, they just don't seem to be able to get what the Red Wings need in return. I know a third team can be brought in, but...
You said Salt Lake City's beautiful this time.
It is beautiful this time. 248-539-9797. Well, if you're asking a team that thinks they've got you under contract for a long time to get rid of you, you're asking them to change plans, and I think you should be able to say, well, then you got to change plans too. But...
He can do that.
He can.
But he also has the power not to. That's what I'm saying. That's the whole point of having it.
And that's why they won't ever agree to this, even if I think it is fair and Gator think it's fair. You don't, but...
Not from a player point of view.
I think the reason that no trade clauses were granted in the first place is because players didn't want to be moved. I don't think they were even considering the other side of it, is what this is.
Isn't the NHL, wasn't there a stat out there that a larger percentage of NHL players that sign contracts get no trade clauses than any other sport?
Wouldn't surprise me because it's what we're hearing about it.
It feels like it. Robertson's turning down trades to everybody.
Robertson,
he is.
And,
yeah, he turned down
Werenski.
Yeah, he turned down St. Louis, turned down Seattle. Werenski turned down Dallas. Larkin's saying, I only want to go to this minuscule, tiny little group of teams.
He's got the precious list.
248-539-9797. Let's go to Rich in Detroit. You're next. Hi, Rich.
What's up, fellas?
Hey, Rich.
So, I like the John Collins signing. I really like the Trajans being aggressive. I like that he's filling the needs that they had in shooting and ball handling. He's tackling them straight on, not messing around with them. This team is definitely better. But I'm really hoping – I would love to see the Trey Murphy thing. I mean, especially now, because I was so worried that they would have to gut the team to go after a Murphy or a Brown. I did not want them to gut the team. And you don't know in the end if you wind up better than you were. I would love to see them go and sign Michael Porter Jr. right now. I think that would definitely be.
You'd have to trade for him.
Right now with Robin, the team would be stronger and way more balanced. Look at the bench. Some of these guys who they signed could come off the bench. If they sign Porter, Collins comes
off. Well, Porter's not a free agent. You'd have to trade for him.
Okay. Well, I mean, even if you do that, though, they haven't used not one of their first-round picks yet. Not a one. So, and we know they've been war-chesting them.
Wait a sec.
So, let's do it.
They use Cade. They use Asar. They use Ron Holland.
We know they're not using Cade or Asar, so you got to use Holland.
Wait. Maybe I'm confused. What do you mean that? What did you mean when you said they're not using their first round picks?
Trading them?
They haven't for a trade.
I thought you meant they weren't playing. I'm like
27, 29, 31. Gotcha. They have all those.
They've got all those picks to trade. Yep, and especially if Duren ends up at a sign and trade. Look, then Look, I love Michael Porter Jr. There is very little reporting that there actually is accessibility to him. There was more reporting on that a while ago. If they could land him, I'm not mad about it. Not mad about it at all. 248-539-9797. John Collins, a Piston. They await word on Duren. This is a pretty big change over this offseason in terms of roster. Do you approve of what Trajan Langdon is doing? Because it could be a vastly different looking team with a completely different personality next year. It's Carson Anderson, Open Lines, 97.1.